Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Liam Kent, founder of the Blue Anchor Project, national partner of No Kings Day. You can find out more about a No Kings protest, rally, peaceful America-loving event this coming Saturday by going to nokings.org. Thanks to Scott for telling me that it's Marinette, not Marinette. We always appreciate listener fact checks and pronunciation checks here live on air. Thanks to Scott. Angie from Monroe. Heck yeah, we can do photos. And folks, if you want to text in photos on Monday during the show of you, your friends, loved ones at the Love America rally on Saturday, get them ready. Text them on in. Maybe we'll put them together in a little collage, especially if you're going to be down at Cathedral Square, where I will be the speaker at No Kings addressing the rule of law and the fact that at least in democracies, you're not supposed to have presidents that are immune. You're not supposed to have presidents that think they can unilaterally direct the military and law enforcement and the intelligence communities and the tax collectors against their political enemies. That's not supposed to actually be a thing. And I can't wait to talk about it with all of you. And folks, this to me is about as nonpartisan as it can get. This is about loving America. This is about standing up and standing for the most important principles that our democracy was ever founded upon. And one of those, of course, is the separation of church and state. And I've been talking a lot about the fact that it is lie and distraction for MAGAs to wrap themselves in the flag, to wrap themselves in law and order as they pardon J6, people that beat police officer, tried to kill them. It's complete nonsense when they wrap themselves in the cross every day. And Eric Trump, just 2 days ago, proved exactly why I'm right when it comes to wrapping themselves in the cloak of Christianity. Listen to what Eric Trump had to say about his dad.
And look how much better humanity and our world is. You know, we're saving Christianity. We're saving God. We're saving the family unit. We're saving this nation.
Okay, I mean, wrap that up. Wrap that up. Last I checked, and I'm talking basic Bible knowledge here, folks. If you put yourself on equal footing with God, that is a sin. And it's not just any sin. It's not a minor sin. That's a major sin. Some would even call it heresy. I don't know why that's okay. Can you imagine if like Barack Obama's, if Malia got on some news show and was like, my dad saved God, what would happen on the right? And this, again, coming from this party where these young men, I don't even want to call them young men, the one of them is 35 years old. This investigation by Politico came up with some of the most disgusting chats I have seen. These guys have all worked with or chaired or led the Kansas Young Republicans, talking about gas chambers, watermelon people, talking about raping their enemies, bringing back slavery, talking about how glad they are that the Epstein files have been suppressed, using white supremacist symbols like 1488. And all the apologia from some on the right, it rings a little hollow. Since you want to venerate Charlie Kirk, who also traded in some of the most base dog whistle bigoted statements that a person can make. And no, the context never saves it. It's rhetorical trick. J.D. Vance about that saying, grow up, focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats. The reality is that kids do stupid things, especially young boys. They tell edgy, offensive jokes. These aren't edgy, offensive jokes. This is hate speech. And it's not being told by boys. The 8 of the 11 participants in this chat ranged in age from 24 to 35. This according to Mother Jones. The oldest appears to be Joe Maligno, I think, who is 35. This is the guy that talked about gas chambers, used a bunch of racial slurs. He had identified himself as the general counsel, like the chief legal officer for the New York State Young Republicans. Mike Lawler and Elise Stefanik said nothing. There are pictures of them together with this guy online, said nothing about it. And then when Hakeem Jeffries had the audacity to point out this rampant hypocrisy, this racial hate, this gender-based hate from the right, Representative Mike Davis called Hakeem Jeffries George Soros's house slave. Making my point for me. You can't even disagree on substance. What you got to do is call somebody else's slave. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Charles from Milwaukee, always happy to see you on my caller list. What you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Maggie, got a question for you. I'm not sure if you can answer it or not, but they didn't make this big of a deal for the first No King rally. Why are they coming out the way they're coming out this time? Why do you think they are?
I think it's
a Hate America rally, and yeah.
Charles, I think it's because of what I said before with Liam, and that is, this is going to be so much bigger. And what does an authoritarian, what does a dictator, a wannabe fascist hate most? They hate it when the people en masse reject all of the lies and the garbage that's being spewed out by the tin pot wannabe dictators. Allies who hope to feed at the trough of the billionaires and retain some power and wealth and control through illegal means. They don't want the regular people to say, we know that's garbage. We know that a president shouldn't be able to do these things. We believe in democracy, small d. They don't want to see tens of millions of Americans saying this guy is not okay. And this is not acceptable in the United States. I think it also is coming at an inconvenient time for them during the shutdown, when the one Democratic demand is to restore the ACA subsidies. I just think they literally can't handle the heat. You know, like all bullies, when you stand up to him, they tend to buckle. This bully happens to think he can control the military unilaterally and is trying to foment unrest. So the one thing I've got to say to everybody about Saturday, if you're going, bring your American flag, let's love America together, and whatever happens, you remain peaceful. You remain peaceful, because that is what is going to matter in these moments. So why did I start with this revisiting of all of this racist hate that comes spewing out of the MAGA right? It's because Stephen A. Smith, who, if you don't know who this gentleman is, he is one of the most influential. The man has made an absolute dominating career in first sports talk, and he got pushed back and held down, and people didn't want to platform him, and he persevered through all of that. He has made himself wealthy beyond imagine. He has influence beyond imagine as a sports commentator. And he's known for saying kind of incendiary, in-your-face things. But it has become known in recent years that Stephen A. Smith thinks that he should become a politician, thinks that he should run for elected office. And so he now has this podcast. And he basically attacked Representative Jasmine Crockett. And I wanted to get into this with all of you to close out our show this afternoon, because, again, just like all of these Republicans lying about the peaceful, America-loving octogenarians and near-octogenarians and teenagers and lawyers like myself who deeply love America, who have never met an anti-fascist, don't even know where to find them, all these people, why are they lying about that? They're lying about it and calling us all Antifa and terrorists and pro-Hamas and Marxists to, again, create the permission structure to use violence against people that are just trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. That's what this is about, to create the mayhem that produces the excuse to suppress speech. That is always what this has been about. And Stephen A. Smith in his critique of Representative Crockett is complicit in creating a permission structure that enables white supremacist racism and slightly more covert racism by elected MAGA leaders. That is what that is about. And Stephen A. Smith, I don't know if he intends to do that, but what Stephen A. Smith is doing is sort of appealing to what he thinks will get him clicks and what folks who maybe don't think all that deeply about issues might be knee-jerk inclined to agree with, right? Stephen A. Smith, when he talks about politics, has this like, there's this like fig leaf sort of thin veneer of like, oh, this sounds okay, maybe he's onto something. And he always tries to put a bow around his commentary by saying like, you know, I might not be so smart, but just this seems real obvious. When the first part of what he said is true, he doesn't know much, if anything, about politics or complex public policy. And in many ways, he appeals to the lowest common base denominator in people and fancies himself as sort of a genius. He's one of the perfect examples of the Dunning-Kruger phenomena or the Peter Principle. That guy thinks he's way smarter about a lot more stuff than he actually is. He is a brilliant sports commentator. I think he is a brilliant broadcaster, period. Certainly far better than I am. And he has wealth, influence, power, reach, audience to prove it. And I don't think that people that talk about sports can't talk about politics. But because Stephen A. Smith has been so incredibly successful at what he's done, I have to raise an objection to how he's using that platform, using that wealth, using that power, using that influence, which I believe is careless and destructive in a time where the young Republicans think it is perfectly acceptable to trade in the most vile, racist, bigoted language on a daily basis. I think it is wrong for Stephen A. Smith to use his influence, power, reach, massive audience to even in a tiny way create a permission structure where our military, emboldened by a president and a Supreme Court, engages in racial profiling to disappear people, deprive them of their civil rights, and deport them to countries that they have never, ever, ever set foot on. So we're going to have to take care of a little business, and then we're going to come back, and I want to share with you what he said about Jasmine Crockett. And then when he got called out by Roland Martin, by a whole slew of other very influential black media commentators, entertainers, and folks with a big profile, his pseudo non-explanation, quasi-double-down nonsense. Because we, all of us, have to start calling things out as they are. You do not have a tinfoil hat on. Okay, we've got to call it out as it is, straightforwardly. And what Stephen A. Smith did certainly is a permission structure for racism. Stay tuned. We're going to listen to that next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show.